So anyhow, so imagine this house. So you come in, here are the steps to the side, and you can go into the living room here. Here's the K's for the kitchen, D for the dining room, right? And then here you can go from the dining room. So you go into the living room, you can go left from the living room to the kitchen. You can go into the dining room here. There's a den in the back, you can go from the dining room to the kitchen. Pretty standard land. There's obviously a bathroom in here somewhere, but again, this is not architecture class. This is halachic person. Halachic man looks at architecture. Halachic man looks at his house and says, one second. He says, look for a moment at Menachas Daf, Lamed Dalad, Amud Aleph. Not Mem Dalad, which is also in your packet, but Lamed Dalad. Well, Papa, here we are around 10 lines from the top of Lama Dama. Actually, let's skip down like 12 lines down from the top of Lama Dama. The line begins in Rav Desanya, right over here, right before Tosis of Savta. Desanya, Beischa, here we quote a Medrash. How do I know that the Bryce is a Medrash? Supposed to be some other type of Bryce? Because, exactly, it starts with the Pasuk and comments on the Pasuk. As you know, the difference between Medrash and other types of Tarash Bal Peh, like Mishnah and Braisa, is that Medrash is Tarash Bal Peh range, not Al Seder topics, but Al Seder the Pesukim and Chumash. It typically reads like a Rashi, like a Ramban, like a Sefer. It is a Sefer on Chumash. You have a Dira Vasla from the Chumash, then a comment. Another Dira Vasla from the Chumash, and a comment. Desanya, Beisra, Biasra. You know, you mean it. Uchsavta mezuzah beisecha v'sharecha. You write the, you have to put the mezuzah on the doorpost of your bayis and of your shar, of your home, or maybe by some more prime translated room, and your geek. If you are a darshan, the go to the measures, the darshan, beisecha is biasecha. As you come in, Minayimin, as you come in on the right side, I told them, Minayimin, the right one say, who told you it's the right side? You're in the small. Whoops. Even if Beischa sounds like Biascha, as you come in, it says, as you come in, but which side as you come in? Right side, left side? Who told you right side? Where did that come from? So the Gemara, the Bryce explains, Talmud Omar, Beischa. So, the Gemara says, what does that mean? My Talmudah, Amarapa Derek Biasra Minayimin. It's as you come on the right side. While I assume that coming in is necessarily right side more than left side, the Fiakar Inishkare, the Amina Akar. Most people are not only right handed, but most people are right footed. If you learn archery, if you learn a shoot bow and arrow, so they actually will tell you that there's also eye dominance. Most people are right eye dominant. There are ways of testing it. But they don't necessarily have to go hand in hand. No pun intended. So you can be righty or lefty in your hands. You can be righty or lefty in your eyes. I think left eye dominance is even more rare than left hand dominance. You can also
look at something and then cover an eye and see if there's switches.
You can also be right foot or left foot dominant. When you kick a soccer ball comes to you in a somewhat different way to test it. If you're really interested, fall 20, I can show you how to test whether you're right eye dominant, left eye dominant, and why it matters for archery. But when a soccer ball comes to you, with which foot do you kick it? Most people, the vast majority of people, are right foot dominant, and you'll kick it. You'll kick the soccer ball with right foot. So if you're standing there, and without being self-conscious, you start walking. Most people are going to start walking right for first. So Torah Biascha, you're coming in, your entry into the house, your keys to the house, most likely is right side first. So if the Pasuk didn't give us a lot of information, the impression you get is Biascha Minayimin. That's the source for this din. That, as the Gemara says, if you have a doorway and it only has a doorpost on the left side and the right side is just a straight wall, everyone agrees that there's no mezuzah. Because there's mezuzah on the right side and apparently only on the right side. That's what Vilna Gaon points out. Vilna Gaon in Shulchan Aruch points out, from this Gemara you see not only we prefer the right side, but it's right side exclusive. Put on the left side, your yotze, nothing. That, turned Shulchan Aruch, was the question, was the last line in Reish Pei Tes, Sif Beis, which you saw last week. In the Kivah Mismal Psula. That's what the Tur writes. Remember we had a discussion of how the last week we spoke about the other dinam of the two other dimensions. How high on the doorway and how deep into the doorway. And there's been a debate whether any of those dinam are ma'akev or not. Even the Tur, who says that how deep, you know, other details of the position are not ma'akev, even the Tur agrees in kiva mismal psula. Everyone agrees left side is no good. Which is why you now look at this map, this layout blueprint of the house, and you say, we got problems. Because the front door, okay, I know which side, the right side coming, Yemin HaKnisa, that's our key rule here. Right, the language of the Gemara was, Derech Biascha Min HaYemin. On the right side as you come in. Or as the Rishon Tam is called, Yemin HaKnisa. The right side of the Knisa, the entry. So over here, it's pretty obvious the entry is this way. The right side as you enter is obviously over here. If this den in the back is a dead-end room, the only way in is through that doorway. So obviously I can go in and I can go out. But going from the dining room to the den, it's called Knisa. That's called Bia, entry. Going from the den subsequently back out to the dining room obviously is called Yitzia. So if we talk about derech kinisa, derech bi'ascha, minayimin, obviously we mean from the dining room to the den. As we go from the dining room to the den, it's on the right side, right over there. That's beautiful. The question is, if there's a doorway over here, if there's a doorway from the living room to the kitchen, from the living room to the dining room, or dining room to the kitchen, or not, or is it from the kitchen to the dining room? I don't know.
Or if there's like a side door there.
Right, well, if there's a side, what is a separate entrance here? Let's say there's a back door. You can come in from the backyard into the kitchen. Does that change anything? What do you mean? The Ma'amish is Din Daraisa, and a pretty serious Din Daraisa. It's Ma'ake. If you guess wrong, you're not Yotze. So which one is it? How do you even begin to think about it? Is it going into the dining room or is it going into the living room? Is it
prioritized rooms?
So how are we going to do that? So take a look at the following Gemara on Daf. Lamed Gimel Maseches Menachos. So, listen to the following simple solution. Omar, here we are. Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph on the fifth one. Omar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The Gemara is a series of memories. Yehuda quotes Shmuel a number of different dinim of Hilchos Mezuzah. The 5 lines from the top. In the world of Hilchos Mezuzah, you gotta follow the sign of the tzir. What's a tzir? You're looking at a tzir in this room right now. If you look around, you can find a tzir. There are two tzirim attached to the door. Bingo.
Actually, three.
Thank you. You're right. One, two, and three. So, follow the tzir. What does the tzir tell you?
The direction.
If the tzir is inside this room, that means the door enters, swings into this room. Right?
What if it's like a chef?
The automatic closure.
I guess that could also be a tzir. And that also controls
the
very good. So the Gemara says, hold on to questions. My hacker is here. The guard says, what exactly is hacker is here? Amar Avada Avkisa. Well, that helps you if you speak Aramaic. Avkisa is the Aramaic word for here. Avkisa is the hinge. Rashi points out they had a slightly different technology. Rashi says, Abkisa, like fifth narrow line. Rashi, also Khursha the Iskupa. That hole in the Iskupa is a doorstep. Should Sir Hadela Soveva. Look at, they had it not attached like this, screwed on, but they had it going down into the doorstep. There was a pole, and there were probably rings on the door. There was a pole that went down into the doorstep, and that's how the door would swing. But whatever the technology looks like, Lamaisa, you look at the way the door swings, and the way the door swings, you put the mezuzah on the right side going into where the hinges are. Meaning?
So you always assume the door opens
in. Right, exactly. So let's say over here, Lamaisa, this door, we're going to have the mezuzah. Now remember, the mezuzah is not where the hinges are. The mezuzah is actually over here, on the right side. But the hinges don't tell you which door post to use, they tell you which direction, which orientation. We see this as a door going this way, that the door swings like that, that's the official Knesset. So you have the right side of that Knesset. Now if you're, Rabbi Willig was once giving shir in Halacha Shir in Stern College. He did for a number of years. One of the years, for one point, he was teaching Hilchos Mezuzah. So he's in this classroom, Stern College, and he's talking about the dinim.
The doors.
Ah. So, see, he was, he said a din, and he said, and look at that door. And they all look at the door, and Mezuzah was the opposite of what he had predicted. Really? Why? To understand why, you have to look at why that was and what the solution was. Let's look at the next couple lines of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Hechidami, so what's the case? You're going, Pischa de Bein Tre Bati. Bein, Bein Gavri, Levein Asher. What's the case when you're looking at the Hechid here? Let's say the doorway between two different rooms, two different batim. By not two different houses, in a biased sense of room. Two different rooms in the house, Bein Gavri, Levein Asher, between the men's room and the women's room. Not, we use men's room euphemistically to the bathroom. I mean, literally, the room where the men are, and the room where the women are. What exactly is a men's room and a women's room? Take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. You go pisco the beta off. It's all along Rashi, very important. The Mordechai, in fact, the Gemara points out that this Rashi is very relevant. L'halacha. Adam shacholek beisam. Here, this is Rashi Dimasu, can go to Pisco de Trebati, right over here, next to where the Haggaz Habach is. Adam Shecholek Beso. You have a man who has a house. It could have been a one room schoolhouse, could have been a one room house. Instead, he divides it. Chetzel lehilu chanash mechazm beveso, the chetzel leishtel asus malachta beetzneh. So you have this room. Here's your front door. And say, having one big room, you build a wall across here. So in the front is a Bay Gavri.
Modified studio.
Exactly. In the front is a Bay Gavri where people from the outside will come in and they'll have public business. And the back is a Bay Nashi where your wife can have privacy.
It's kind of like Sokolovsky's house.
Public side and private side.
Right?
Something like that. But the layout of that concept is the same. The layout is going to be a little different. We'll see if that matters. V'yesh Pesach ben Zuluzu. But it's not as though this is closed. There's a doorway in between the two. And U'fesach l'chol bayis l'rishos harav. There's also a doorway from each of these two rooms to the outside. So there's the way we're drawing it, there's a back door also. So you can come in from the street. We're learning Torah here. So the Rashi gives us this situation. You have a Bei Gavri, you have a Bei Nashi. You could enter each room separately from the outside. There's also a door in between the two. So now that door in between the two, right over here, that doorway, so Rashi says, whoa, Bei Gavri, Bei Nashi. Amrin l'kamon, Rashi fills in, the Gemara we just saw, a blot later, Mezuzah derech yimin lebi, asking the right side as you enter. V'lo li'etzia, v'hacha, but in this case, what's called entrance and what's called exiting? So this door and that door, the door from the outside to each of the two rooms, it's pretty clear what you mean by going in, from the outside, in. But here it's from in, and both rooms in the house. There are two ways to go. And there isn't, doesn't seem like there's any natural preference. Neither one is a dead end room. Kesuv shebein zu lozu, lo yedin heiluch shev bi, heiluch shev yitzir. Yitzir mehai lai, bi mehai lai. Is it from A to B, from B to A? Yeah, well, so what do you do? So does mezuzah on this side or on that side? You're on the right side as you enter the Bein Hashi, or on the right side as you enter the Bein Gavri? So what's the answer? What's the Gemara's answer? I don't know which one. Which way is the primary entrance way? Which is the official entrance way? You look at the hinges. Look at which way the door swings.
Which way should you set up the doors?
Sorry?
Which way should you set up the doors?
Whichever you want.
So then why does it matter which way the hinge is going?
Good question. The room that has the hinges, so let's say if the hinges are in the Beinashi.
But there's no door.
So the excellent question. So the door swings that way, so then you see the entrance, primarily entering into the Beinashi, that's called the house. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi, we have the Gemara. Gemara says, you follow Hekatzir. What's the case? The Pesach Shebein, the Gavri, the Bein Asher. So you open up Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll take some questions. So you open up Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Mordechai, from Rashi, Mishacholek Beisol Eshnayim. I take that back. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Tur Koin Rashi. You divide a room into two. Each of these, now we have two rooms connected. Each of these two rooms has a separate exit to the outside. And the wall in between the two rooms, there is a Pesach mizeh lezeh. So what do you do with that central door? Here, the side that you have the hinge, Mamid Shamad Lasos, Hu Habayis V'Derech Yimin Shinechnasim Lo, Kovim Osa. So if you had to write a hierarchy of rules that the Shulchan Aruch presents you with, what are the rules that you use to figure out which way is considered in? So clearly one of the rules is Hekertzir. Now, based on this Gemara, what do you see though? What comes before Hekertzir?
Dead end.
Dead end, right? At least according to Rashi, right?
So,
Kol HaKnisa. That's according to Rashi. And what's even perhaps stronger than that is going to be Yeshua Sarabim, the front door, the back door. These doors, for sure, don't need you don't follow Hekertz here. It's only an internal door, right? That the Gemara makes pretty clear. Oh, internal door, so that's where you need, Hekertzir. That's obvious that everyone agrees to that. Everyone agrees that the front door of the house, you do not follow Hekertzir. When does it come up? So I mentioned last week that in South Florida, in tropical, in an area where they have the concern of tropical storms, the front door opens out for safety reasons. But even if that's the case, because that way a tropical storm couldn't just blow the door in. So, but even if that's the case, everyone agrees that you can't construe that door as a door to Knesa into the outside. By definition, it has to be Knesa to a bias. Outside is not a bias. Everyone agrees to that. Where I Willig was giving shiur in Stern College, and it was in a classroom with one door, a dead end room. So he's going through and he says, oh, so obviously, a dead end room, kol haknisa, mezuzah on the right side coming in. And I look at the door and see mezuzah was right over here, on the right side going out. And first he's like, how you touch it? Right? And then he realized that the mezuzahs in Stern College had been put up many years before by one of the rebbeim. His name was Rabbi Alter Metzger. Right? Alter Metzger was a Lubavitcher, the old Lubavitcher. So there's an old Lubavitch tradition that goes back at least to the days of the Rebbe Rashab. I think it was the third or fourth Lubavitch Rebbe. And this is the Rebbe Rashab Ulamala Bakodesh. It doesn't go back all the way to the Baal Tanya, because in the Tanya's, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, he does not write this way. But the tradition in Lubavitch is that Heker Tzir is rule number two. In other words, when the Gemara said, Ha Ketzawa, what's the case? Hechidami, Begavla Beinashi, point was just an internal door as opposed to a front door, a back door, an external door. So if by Lubavitch is, unless it's the front door of the house, you always follow Heker Tzir. Even if, that's what we talked last week, for because of fire code, modern buildings and will for public spaces always have the doors swinging out towards the hallway, so you don't have the concern of a hazard if there's a stampede towards the door. This one was built before that code was changed. So for Lubavitchers, all these, you have a dead end room, but the door swings to the hallway. So for Lubavitchers, the mezuzahs followed Heker Tzir. You always follow Heker Tzir except for the front door. Lubavitchers, Heker Tzir is rule number two. If you're not a Lubavitcher, you follow Shulchan Aruch, you follow Rashi. Well, no, that's fine. I'm entitled to disagree. If you follow Shulchan Aruch is very clear that not only is the point that Beit Gavri doesn't, because Rashi already said that Beit Gavri, see, here's the point. Well, the Gemara is not befarish like this. But Rashi says, it's spoken by Shulchan Aruch, that both front and back rooms have a separate entrance to the street. So the mashmos of Rashi was that if the Beinashi didn't have a separate back door, then you wouldn't follow Heker Tzir. The Gemara didn't say that. Okay, so the Lubavitcher Masora is Beigar Beinashi, even if the Beinashi is a dead end room, you still follow Heker Tzir. Okay, Moshur Harach follows Rashi, dead end room also. Then the Shach, says now it sounds like Heker Tzir should be rule number three. But then there's a Shach. And the Taz Meis does sound like it's rule number three. But there's a very important Shach which the post can quote. Take a look at the Shach, please. The Shach is quite shy, yes. Shach Sivkan Vav. The previous Sivkan Hey was about what we discussed last week, that Ramah, that we own Mezuzah does, and unlike Tefillin, you don't follow righties or lefties, even if the Shach makes the point, even if everyone in the house as a lefty, it doesn't matter. You're still right for mezuzah is absolute right. But here's the cut and vav. Yesh pesach nizel lezeh, says the Shach. Ve'en yodua eize chashuv knisa o yitziah. It's hard to know which one should we call knisa or yitziah. Which way is officially in versus out? What's the orientation of this door? So that's why he says hilchah chazlinon basar heker tzir. So that's why we follow heker tzir. If there's a dead-end room, right, that's what Shulchan Aruch said, right, against the Lubavitcher practice. Shulchan Aruch quotes based on Rashi. You have a dead-end room, that's clear what the Knesset is, but if it's not, because neither one, you could come from the outside, from the back door into Beinashi, then into Beit Gavri, or you come from the front door into Beit Gavri, then into Beinashi. So this door could be either way, Knesset either way. That's why there's no Kolak Knesset. You can't say all of the initial traffic is one way. So then you follow Heker Tzir. Then he quotes the Ayin Tes Zayin, the Ateres Zav. That's the Levush. Rav Mordechai Yaffa was roughly a contemporary of Shulchan Aruch, who wrote a sefer that was meant to be an alternative to Shulchan Aruch, but for a while it was a candidate to sort of take that place that Shulchan Aruch ultimately occupied. Rav Mordechai Yaffa, his name was Mordechai, so he wrote a sefer on all of Tur, of Shulchan Aruch. Each part of the sefer has a name taken from that pasuk, like Mordechai Yosef Ne'emelah, Bavush Machus Aterazav Tachru Butza Agaman. So different parts of Tur of Shulchan Aruch have different names. So the Levush, that's why it's called Levush Mordechai. Official name of the sefer is Levush Mordechai. His name is Mordechai. If you know someone's last name is Jaffe, it may be descended from Mordechai Yaffa. So on Yoredeya, the chelik of Levush Mordechai in Yoredeya is called Aterazav. Levush, official name, Levush Aterazav. Now it's called Levush, the whole sefer. The Shach used the official names. The cost of Ha'ayin Tezayin, the Aterazav. The Levush writes as follows: Ufesach shenichnasnu bo ben ambayis leves hachoref, the door that you go in from the house to the winter home, leves hachoref shalonu. A winter home. From your summer home to, you have a door from your summer home to your winter home. That's pretty interesting. Nearly Shaosan Hamazuzmina Knisa Shinachnasim Bomina Bayas Bayza Hov. So I think you should have the door, mezuzah, as on the right side as you enter into the winter home. Now I ask you, if someone has, it sounds pretty lavish. You have a summer home, your winter home. Who has a doorway from that? If your winter home is in a warmer climate than your summer home, unless you have a wormhole, how do you have a door from your winter home to your summer home?
Gevaldik.
So Josh Hamburger points out that obviously we're not talking about two different homes in two different states. We're talking about two different rooms in a house. Now, what do you mean a summer home and winter home? Just to give a sense of how the affluence we take for granted, who could afford to insulate an entire home and to heat an entire home? What you had was, you had a room with a house with a couple of rooms. And this was common in late medieval Germany and Poland. You would have a few rooms in your house, but only one had the boiler. Only one had an oven, a furnace in it. So during the summertime, all the rooms are comfortable. During the wintertime, who wanted to live in the room that was totally unheated? So during the wintertime, the whole family would contract into this one room. And the room where the oven was where the whole family would eat and sleep and live for winter until it got warm, and then you can move back into your bedroom. Just sort of to think about how much comfort we take for granted. So you had the Beis HaChoref. Beis HaChoref was the room where everything that happened in the house over the course of, November, December, January, February, something like that, maybe more, only happened in that room. The other rooms are only used, 6 to 8 months a year. So the Levush writes, what? Okay, right. Good. So the Levush writes, so if you have these two rooms, one room that you use 12 months a year, another room that you use 6 to 8 months a year, which way is called going in? Which way is called going in? Going into the Beis HaChoref for your 12 months a year, the Iker Tashmish Shalom B'Techor Shalom, because our primary usage, our primary living is in the Beis HaChoref. We don't follow Hekir Tzir, he says. It doesn't matter. And the Shach says, I agree with Levush 100%. So the Shach tells us there's another rule. That there is also Iker Tashmish. That we don't have... Iker Tashmish is also more important than Hekir Tzir. And if you look, you trace it back, it's rooted in the fact that Mordechai already points out, number one, we said we would reject the Lubavitch approach. Because Rashi had said, what's the case? And he specifically is, the back room also has a separate door to the outside. Number two is that it wasn't just two rooms in a house. It was specifically Begari Beinashi, meaning both are rooms that are primary usage. As Rashi said, the back room is where your wife can hang out all the time. The front room is where you receive guests. Both are rooms that are used heavily, Keseder. But if one room was used all the time, the other was only used occasionally, that's not the case of the Gemara gave. So that's what the Mordechai and the Terazav and the Shach said. The Gemara was giving this house with Hechidami, but the Gemara is limiting. This sounds like a very broad principle. Hecker said, no, it really only applies in narrow cases. Number one, even the Babishes agree that the case limits you to internal doors. So from outside to inside takes precedence. Number two, should Rashi Shacharach say, and we're only talking about a case where it's not a den, neither one is a dead end room. And then the Mordechai Levush and the Shach say, moreover, we're only talking about a case where both of them are very significant. So let's give an example. Practice, we don't have, I think no one here has a Beis HaChoref reality, Baruch Hashem.
Oh.
But what you might have Iker Tashmish in the following sense. Let's say you have a dining room and a kitchen next to each other, but you only eat in the dining room on Shabbos. All week long, let's say you have an eating kitchen. So all week long, who goes into the dining room? Dining room lights are out. Occasionally, maybe use the table. You're doing a jigsaw puzzle. You lay it out on the dining room table. But who goes into the dining room? Rarely. On Shabbos, you use the dining room. The kitchen, you're there hours every day. So that would mean that the mezuzah should be pointed, even if the door swings from the kitchen to the dining room, but the Iker Tashmish clearly points from the dining room into the kitchen. The kitchen you use all the time, the dining room only occasionally. Or another example of the Iker Tashmish, Shechter suggested to me many years ago was the annex downstairs. So think about the annex, right? Those rooms. So which way is the point? So you're going to tell me it's the annex, right? Why?
It's a dead end.
Ah, except it's not. That's what I thought also. Truth is not a dead end because there are multiple doors in. So it's not clear that either you could be people coming through this way and go out that way, right? So, but he pointed out, but Ikar Tashmish is clearly from the hallway. There it's not so much a quantitative issue of we use this room more hours than that one. But right, and qualitatively, the hallway is only there to mishamish. It's a point of the hallway just to get to other places. So qualitatively, the annex is where things actually happen. The hallway is just how you get to the annex. So Ikar Tashmish should be the annex. So both doorways, mezuzah is pointing in. Let me throw in the one more bit of complexity, which is poskim really have five rules. There's Ikar Tashmish, and there's also Rov HaKnisa. Most of the internal initial entry. Let's say think about your house, or think about this house, right? So let's say, here, you come into the living room. You come into the living room, then you can either go to the right to the dining room or to the left to the kitchen. There's also a door between the dining room and the kitchen. So now let's think about where, for instance, this mezuzah ought to point. So you might tell me, let's say I'm at a point, my family's at a point in its history where we rarely use the dining room. We still fit in the kitchen. We still fit for supper in the kitchen. So we only use the dining room on Shabbos. So Ikar Tashmish tells me, right. Kitchen is the main, right? So you should be going from the dining room to the kitchen. On the other hand, coming in from the front door, approaching this doorway for the first time after coming from the front door, which way are you more likely to be going? So it could be you're more likely to go from the living room first into the kitchen and then make your way perhaps in the dining room as opposed to going through the dining room to the kitchen. So while Ikar Tashmish points this way, Rov HaKnisa, it's not a dead-end room, you're not forced to go this way first, but the majority of initial entry through that, passing through that doorway, might be from the kitchen to the dining room. That's the posting referred to as Rov HaKnisa. In the Chovos Hadar, which is the modern classic Kitzurim and Hilchos Mezuzah, he points out there are five rules in the hierarchy, and machlokas, which is three, which is four. This is number one. Again, everyone agrees number one is from the outside, from the Achra Labais, which is Ram Labais. If you're not a Lubavitcher, you definitely agree that rule number two is Kol HaKnisa, the dead end room. All the initial entry is going into the dead end room. Three and four are Ikar Tashmish and Rov Knisa. But what order they go in is the machlokas HaPoskim, and it actually comes up. And finally, the very bottom, again, unless you're a Lubavitcher, at the very, very bottom of the list is the one that the Gemara actually mentioned, ironically, Hecker Tzir. Now, and this goes back to the comment you made before, the reason why Hecker Tzir is the bottom of the list is because, honestly, it's not that meaningful. In other words, the din of right is really, as the Gemara Dashim, the word Beisra, Beyasra, it has to do with traffic, right? How you walk. And we understand Ikar Tashmish is very nostalgic. Okay, but this is a way of the idea of Ikar V'tafel is certainly a universal halachic idea. And it's primarily, it may Ikar and Tafel should determine which way I should look at things, sort of like a Ruma Kukulo type of idea, and which way traffic goes. Well, that's what the din is about. Heck, does it really matter which way the door swings? Not really that significant. So that's why the majority of posts can say, if mamash, the traffic is basically the same, and they're both heavily used, there is no stark difference in terms, that's why you have to tell me how much that. Ikar Tashmish, you can't be like, I use this room 3 hours a day, I use this room 4 hours a day, that's not Ikar Tashmish. Ikar Tashmish has to be something stark, like Pesach Horef, right? Or like Shabbos versus all week long. So if there's no Ikar Tashmish, and Robach, it's really hard to know which way the people travel, it's really hard to know. It isn't real. So then, mamash, two rooms are basically the same. So Hecker Tzir is like a very slight tip. There's a slight preference for the fact that the door swings that way. It makes a little bit more going in that way. But that's really the bottom of the barrel. Because the more significant substantive functional issues are the Knesset and the shimlers, the function of the room. You've been waiting.
Yeah, so just from, like, I was going to ask this question towards the beginning of how this is up, but I think it's more relevant now. We're talking about, like, Babish thing, if they have, like, bump heckers here up the list. So who is the, the need to have a mezuzah on your door, who does that fall upon? And, for example, if, like, I'm some random person living or, you know, doing things in someone else's house, and, you know, they're Lubavitch and I'm Ashkenazi, or they're Sephardi and I'm Ashkenazi, then, like, what do you do?
That's a great question. That's going to come up later a little bit more. The Gemara has a line that the mezuzah is Chovas Hadar. It's the chiv of the one who lives there. Now, the question is, let's say if you're a renter, the Gemara says that mezuzah is not a chiv of the landlord. Mezuzah is a chiv of the tenant. However, we call the word beischa, so there may be, the beischa appears more than once in both parshas. So there may be a drasha, Tosas discusses later Menachas. Is it just a question of living there, or does it have to be living, min ha-Torah, you have to live there and own? There's a tenant, chayv mitrabanan, the tenant, chayv min ha-Torah. Everyone agrees it's not the landlord's chiv. Merely owning it but not living there is not mechayv. But let's say if I operate a facility and I have clients, so we'll get
even,
to this.
Even Stern.
Right, so Stern is not a chiv of the students. Right, Stern is a chiv of the institution.
Well, the guy who put up the mezuzah was Lubavitch.
Okay. So should he have followed the psakim of? Yeah, it's a good question.
Now that especially, you know, like he's like there's no one there, like not even the guy who's putting up the mezuzahs. Should they switch it?
I don't know. That's a good question.